again, you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, March the 26th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Tom Baker, your host, and because it's a Ruminations Thursday, we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Wes Rhymness. Hi, Wes.
Good morning, Pastor Baker. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Sounds like your voice is doing a little better also.
Yeah, that was an interesting comment you made last week that I was kind of out of the garden right there.
Yes. You are a Law and Gospel person, aren't you, like me?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a group together, calling them the Law and Gospel people. And that's going to be a theme of this again and again. And I also got a little bit of humor I like starting the program with. This one was an interesting one. A pastor was called by one of his teachers to open a cupboard, but the cupboard had a lock on it, you know, with numbers. And so he came over and he says, well, I'll try and do the best I can. And so he got near the lock and he looked heavenward and then he started moving the lock and sure enough, it opened. And she was really impressed with his demonstration of faith. And he smiled and then said to her, oh, by the way, the numbers are written on the ceiling.
Oh, no.
Yes. So that's our little humor for today. But I have another item that I didn't tell you about because it was after we had taught last night. And I was coming up. I'm doing the sermon today at the international headquarters. So you'll be taking over the last 2 or 3 minutes talking about where you're preaching and such at the end of the program. But as I came up from doing my sermon, I saw the last bit of O'Reilly's program on Fox. And he was talking about that new film he has coming out about killing Jesus.
Killing Jesus, yes.
And the lady who was talking to him talked about that you never talk about Jesus as the Christ in the whole film. And he says, oh, that's because Jesus was never referred to as Christ until after his resurrection.
Really?
That's what he said. Now, I'd like to remind you of one verse, Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is?
The Christ.
Christ the Lord, yes. In fact, the word Christ appears 524 times in the New Testament in 497 separate verses. And a lot of them are Matthew through John before his resurrection. What did Peter say?
Thou art the Christ.
Yes. I mean, I don't understand this, O'Reilly. So I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow on Open Mic Friday. But I do want people to be warned that if this is any kind of programming that's going to go on under, you know, Jesus is killed in that movie, you better really be careful and not take it to heart.
Well, the other thing that I caught was that it was all about a historical political maneuvering, and that was the real reason they killed the Christ, which really works against what you were talking about on your Monday broadcast about Palm Sunday.
Yep.
And the lessons being about the passion that he came into the world to die upon the cross for forgiveness.
Yeah, good point. And I have to say that... Yeah, my wife had listened to more of it, and she was telling me, what was the point that she was making that they are doing it from a historical point of view? Well, if the angels came and said, you know, to the shepherds that he is Christ the Lord, that's history. You know, the word history, you know what that means. His story.
Story.
Yes. So this is really kind of... ridiculous. I don't understand. In fact, the other point she made was there was no understanding of why Jesus died in the movie. Can you imagine that?
You know, you're giving away some of my sermon on Sunday.
Oh, well, fortunately, nobody up there listens to this program, so... Yeah, we don't find that. All right, if anybody wants to call with any subject, what we do on Ruminations, we have myself and the pastor talking about advice to lay people, and here's our advice to the O'Reilly thing. You may want to tape it and before you show it to your children so that you'll know what areas are just absolutely contrary to the Scripture. Because we just talked about two of them today, and they're pretty serious. So if you want to phone on any subject in the St. Louis area, it's 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. What we're going to begin talking about is something that we found very interesting. The CEO of Starbucks, Howard Schultz, has sent a message to anyone who supports traditional marriage over gay marriage is they don't want our business. You got some material on that, Wes?
Right. Yeah, that's been floating around. And as near as I could find is evidently he might or may have or allegedly have spoken that to a individual shareholder.
Yeah, stockholder. He said, if you don't like what we believe, then put your stock somewhere else. We don't need your stock. Don't want it.
Well, that's different than we don't want your business. You know,
well, that's how you do business.
Well, that's part of it. There's another way of doing the business, too, and that's going into Starbucks and buying a cup of coffee.
Yeah. And then, you know, they had this thing where they were talking about racism. They finally dropped that because they were losing money on that, too. So maybe we need to go into Starbucks and then ask the waitress or whoever they have there, do you believe in gay marriage or do you believe what the Bible says about traditional marriage? And see how many of his workers disagree with him.
That might cause a little bit of a consternation among some of the people that you would run into.
Well, that's part of what Jesus did. He caused consternation in regard to false teaching. You can still do it in a loving way. What's Howard Schultz going to do? Fire his employee who believes in traditional marriage? That's against the law to do that right now. So he could get into some big trouble. I can't understand why somebody who sells coffee wants to get into theology.
Yeah, well, yeah, into these social theological issues. I can't imagine it either. Any business for it's been kind of disastrous, I think, for companies that have done it. I've watched some companies, their bottom line just fall out because people just leave it behind. They don't want to be involved in it.
Yes, and I think our main area with gay marriage is coming from young people, particularly those who attend liberal colleges and universities, because their professors are pushing that. They can be talking about any subject like Napoleon, and they'll bring up gay marriage because that's the thing they want to get across.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this whole thing of where you take your business, I mean, there's places that I've gone where they have supported things that I would not be in support of and asked me to contribute to it. And I had to look at them and say, I'm offended that you even asked.
Yes, you've got companies like not only Starbucks, but Nike and Microsoft who have donated millions to destroy traditional marriage in Washington state, you know, when they had to vote on that kind of thing. But then you do have places like Chick-fil-A. I don't know if you realize, but they had a Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. They had record sales on that. And that was because people really appreciate their views on traditional marriage, biblical marriage. In fact, marriage that God only considers as a marriage.
Right. If you remember that whole flap a few years back when they went out and done that, I was out traveling with my wife and down south, and we went to a Chick-fil-A. We had to stand in line for 20-some minutes, and the place there said, we've never done this kind of business, until they started talking about how we supported traditional marriage.
Yes, I do not fear that churches are going to be in trouble if they don't conduct gay marriage, because right now we don't conduct certain marriages, even of our own members, under certain circumstances.
Right. And that's one of the things, before I retired, I started helping the congregation develop a policy statement that now requires that if you're going to be married in our church, that if you want to be married, you have to, and you're not a member, you have to go through adult instruction.
Yeah, I did one better than that, I think. I insisted that they go, let's say my member is marrying a Roman Catholic, I insisted that they go to adult instruction class at the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm.
And then the night after, I would meet with them. And guess what? We didn't lose one of them.
Interesting.
Because the Roman Catholics simply don't have any biblical background to support where they disagree with Lutheranism. Like, there's no biblical background to purgatory, to praying to Mary, to indulgences. And there's a whole number of things in that area. I still believe that Roman Catholics are saved because they do give all the credit to Jesus Christ for their salvation. But in their practice, they tend to look to their own works as a contribution to their salvation. And therefore, in fact, in the sermon I'm giving today, I ask this question: have any of you wondered whether or not you're going to heaven and doubted that you might? And I said, the reason you're doing that is because you're looking at your works rather than the cross. Can you expand on that?
Well, works don't get us into heaven. I mean, you go to Ephesians chapter 2, and it talks about how we were dead in our trespasses, but God, rich in his mercy, you know, by grace through faith are you saved. I'm paraphrasing some of the passages there, but it's only by the grace of God, and as we trust in the promises that Jesus has died upon the cross, that we are saved.
Yes. So that what we're talking about is a wonderful good news that we find not just in the New Testament books, but understood as a new covenant.
Right. And that therein lies back to what I was saying before, is that they had to go through adult instruction, because in your case, it probably worked if they were of a different faith and you wanted them to compare the two.
Yes.
But many times what I was running across is they had no church background.
Right. Yeah. Then you definitely want them in adult instruction. And I'll tell you why, is because most unbelievers or people who haven't been around the church a lot have no understanding about how husband and wife are to relate to one another. They totally misunderstand the idea that a woman needs to be obedient to the husband, and they think that's so old-fashioned and such. And not until you show that this is really how Jesus and the church react to each other. Does it come to any sense at all?
And the husband is to love his wife as Christ has loved the church.
Yes, which means he is to sacrifice his needs and desires for 90% of the things they talk about. The only area where the husband has authority is where God gives him that authority in the Bible. So, for example, if they have a baby, the husband says, well, we need to baptize the baby, and the wife needs to obey that. Although in most Lutheran marriages, it's really hard. It's really easy to do that because they already believe in infant baptism.
Exactly.
So, go ahead.
How do we get so far away from Schultz and Starbucks?
Well, what we're talking about is doctrine. And
right.
In a marriage, you better have the right doctrine. So would we say now that Starbucks has said that they support gay marriage, would we say it's a sin for a Christian to go and buy coffee at Starbucks?
No.
That's right. That's
right. It's still a business.
Yes. You know, Paul says when he was talking about removing people from your midst, he was talking about within the church, you know, that young man who was living with his stepmother, excommunication. He says, I'm not talking about the world, because you're going to go anywhere. I mean, every time you go to a grocery store, are you going to ask the manager, what's your belief on gay marriage? Are you going to ask the clerk? Are you going to ask the people who stock the shelves? Of course not. Because that really ought not to be, you know, part of a store's position for or against gay marriage, particularly when the Christian church would be opposed to that and consider it an abomination. Let's go to the phone lines right now at 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. And we're going to speak with Herman. Hi, Herman. You're on the air.
Thank you, Pastor. Noted your comments about the Starbucks CEO and opposing anyone who didn't tell them to take their money elsewhere if they believe in traditional marriage as far as stockholding. It might be noted that Rosie O'Donnell, an outspoken opponent of natural marriage, is filing in the upper court of Manhattan, New York, to divorce her current serial lesbian wife.
Yes.
As we recall that the ecclesiastical side of that in the Episcopal Church, that Gene Robinson is now divorced from his husband. So they don't seem to make much of an advertisement for their even their own version of this type of thing. And Rosie O'Donnell has had a number of serial wives in the past.
I understand what you're saying. And although we need to be careful, don't you think, Herman, that we're not saying gay marriage is wrong because it so often ends in divorce? Because these days, even traditional marriage ends in divorce.
True, and that's been going on a long time.
Yes. I think we finally have to say the foundation for our position is God's holy word.
Yes, that's where it starts, even for a man and a woman.
Now, there are some who will argue on the basis of biology and these kinds of things that that wasn't meant for human beings. But the fact is, if they believe in evolution, well, then anything goes.
It's interesting, though, how you could have even evolution without reproduction. You can't reproduce in a homosexual relationship.
Yeah, that's just one example that you made there. In fact, it was very interesting last Friday. I love that section from 8:45 to 9 where they talk creation evolution. And they were talking about irreducible items like in the human body, which means that if any part is missing, it wouldn't exist. And the one thing they were talking about, which really surprised me, was the human ankle, that unlike apes that have flat feet, we have an ankle. And there are so many bones that to think that went from a monkey to a person, that's ridiculous. So if you really want to hear some good radio on why we believe in creationism from a scientific point of view, you really need to listen to that.
Yes, that's one of my high points on KFUO during the week.
That's your... No. Your high point is Long Gospel. Then...
the, okay.
Boy, I tell, who let him on the air, Wes?
By the way, it might be noted that the sexual revolution effort has long promoted easy divorce for men and women, and that is what set the context for this type of homosexual proposal of marriage that you're seeing now.
Yeah, we're talking about no-fault divorce, and
yeah. So
this is really interesting. I have had some people who did no-fault divorce, and then we went ahead and began excommunication proceedings because it was also unbiblical divorce, but not in every case. There was one of our members whose husband became a homosexual and left her. Well, she did nothing wrong. He was to blame, and he was not a member of the church, so we couldn't do anything about that. But I appreciate your call. Thanks so very much for calling her.
Thank you, Pastor.
Any comments that you might have there, Wes?
Well, I think the final comment is you made it halfway through the conversation with Herman, is it really comes down to the word. What does the word say? And are you going to follow what the word has to say? You know, are you going to take ultimately also, you know, you want to take the love, the forgiveness of Christ, but not the sins that he calls a sin. You know, after that, you leave it open to anything.
Yes, I had a recent sermon about how ridiculous is the Christian faith. Like, when you look out over your congregation, do you see them the way God does, as absolutely sinless, holy people?
That's right.
No, none of us do.
No, we don't.
Because we live by our experience, but God lives by his promises.
And don't we, in our liturgy, generally right at the beginning of the service, what do? We confess, I am a poor, miserable sinner, you know,
right,
knowing that we're going to hear that Christ has forgiven our sins.
In fact, we go further than that. We say that we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment, and we're Christians confessing that.
Right, and I think that underlies this whole thing. We're living in a world, and I think you were alluding to it too, that our work somehow merits something or other. There's nothing wrong with us. And really at the core center is the fact that we as Christians say we're all sinful.
In my sermon today, one of my favorite detectives on PBS is Poirot, Hercule Poirot. And I love watching him. Well, we definitely saw his last film as a Hercule Poirot character. He not only murdered somebody, he drugged a killer. When he went to sleep, he shot him in the forehead. Then he committed suicide. So he died. I was the worst Poirot I ever see. But before he died, he was talking to his best friend. And there's Poirot sitting there talking to his longtime friend. And Poirot is holding a rosary and touching each of the various beads. And he says to his longtime friend, do you think that God will forgive me? And his longtime friend looks at him and says, oh, you don't have any worries because you are a good man. Yeah, I know. In fact, I have never understood this question. Why do bad things happen? Why do evil things happen to good people? Well, strange question in light of the fact there are no such thing as good people. You still need to deal with the evil that's in the world. But boy, oh boy, the idea that any of us are good enough that we don't deserve what happens to us. No, the only one who didn't was who?
Jesus.
Right, on the cross, that he died wonderfully. All right, you got 2 minutes left, and I'm on my way to do the sermon. And then we got Andy here who's going to start the music. But what you can do is maybe summarize what we said a little bit. But also, I understand you're preaching this week, so we'd love to hear that. And thanks so much for taking over, Wes.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, as Pastor Baker was talking about, this coming weekend, I'm preaching up at Zion Lutheran Church in New Holland, Illinois, which is about 45 minutes north of Springfield, where I'm at. And this coming Sunday is Palm Sunday. You know, we're in the season of Lent, as many of us know. It's the 40 days of Lent, 46 days, if you count the Sundays. And this coming Sunday, Holy Week, we run into our last week as we prepare for Easter. We begin with Palm Sunday, and then Thursday we have Maundy Thursday, which is what we call Mandate Thursday, the institution of the Lord's Supper. And then Good Friday, the day that we celebrate that Christ was suffered and died upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And then Easter Vigil. Many churches have an Easter Vigil on Saturday, and then Sunday will be Easter, of course, where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Now, on Palm Sunday, generally you can take it two ways. You can go with talking about Christ's triumphal entry as the King of Kings, or as it was pointed out on Monday in Dr. Baker's presentation, that some of the lessons are about the passion of Christ, his reason for coming into the world to die upon the cross. And I think that's important, that that's a focus that we take on Sunday, because with this movie historical Killing Jesus that's coming out, plus some of the other things that I articles that I ran across, they talk about the historicity of Jesus and forget about his reason for coming in, that it was a political maneuvering that caused Jesus to die upon the cross. And while certainly that may be a part of it, but the reason that he came into the world was to die upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. I'm particularly interested in John chapter 12, where, of course, in John 12, it talks about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But there's another thing that goes on. Oh, we're out of time. Oh, boy. It was a great time for us to be together on Long Gospel, and God bless you as you enter into Holy Week this next week.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.